Broadsiding starting to pick up. It's linebacker in front, 150 out, but Broadsiding's looming large. Broadsiding tackling linebacker. Broadsiding and linebacker. Broadsiding strong. Pulls away to win the Champagne Stakes by three quarters. Two linebacker and a gap to Fearless third.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And welcome back to the show with Dino and Ray. Yeah, Broadsiding backing up from the Fernhill win last week to take the Champagne Stakes. Dino, the last horse to do that was Prized Icon in 2016, trained also by our next guest, James Cummings, who's on the line. James, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Dino. How are you?
Terrific. And congratulations, James. Capped off a great carnival for the stable. And I dare say that quick backup after that tough win last week over the mile stood him in good stead yesterday in those testing conditions.
Yeah, I agree. When he got on course, he just looked fit and determined. And, you know, having pulled up so well from the win in the Fernhill last week, we were just given a great deal of confidence that he would be ready to go again, but also he'd be as fit as he possibly could to handle those testing conditions.
Yeah, he's a lovely colt, and he's in his first prep too, so we shouldn't forget that, James. And the fact he's able to win both the Fernhill and the Champagne, it's remarkable how these two races at the back end of a carnival most years tend to throw really good horses.
Yeah, they do, and he's got great blood, this horse. He's a real blue blood. He's by a horse called Too Darn Hot, who John Gosden trained for Andrew Lloyd Webber, and Godolphin bought into the horse as the horse was crowned champion 2-year-old and therefore raced the horse in his 3-year-old year. He won like $2.5 million in prize money in Aussie dollars, and he won a bunch of Group Ones. He was a champion 2-year-old and was able to win over a mile on debut, which is not something that we would normally do with a 2-year-old here. But that's the type of Europe, you know, pure classic level of European blood that Too Darn Hot brings to the table. And I think that that's going to be a really good good and important influence on the breed that we have here in Australia.
James, would you consider keeping Broadsiding in training for the Brisbane Winter Carnival?
Well, you know, it's not a bad question, actually. You know, every year we often consider it. We're not known to have a lot of 2-year-olds targeting the good races up in Brisbane, and I think it in some years is to our detriment. So it's certainly worth thinking about. And you know, I only cast my mind back a few years when Tullock Lodge kept their Frankel horse going after Converge, running in the Fernhill and the Champagne, and Converge ultimately won the JJ Atkins quite stylishly. Mm. So, you know, it can be done, and there's a lot to be said for a 2-year-old who's got that tough campaign already under his belt, because they don't often go up there and race like tired horses. I think it's the opposite. They think their experience carries them a long way, so it's certainly worth considering.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned earlier, James, it capped off a great carnival for you. Of course, you won the Galaxy with Zapateo. Will we see her next week in Adelaide in the Big Mare's Sprint over there?
Yes, you'll see her. Nassim Dilmi's already set up a bit of a camp there in Adelaide, and she'll be floating across there across to Adelaide from Melbourne during the week. And look, we're quite delighted with her. In fact, if your listeners are fans of Zapateo, they could watch a jump out that she partook in on Friday morning at Flemington. It was really nice work. And she demonstrated that she's still up and about and in form for her tilt at this year's Sangster. Of course, she ran third in the race last year, but I'd like to think she's going a little bit better this time.
Yeah, no, brilliant man. She'll be hard to beat over there. James, any update on plans for Cascadian?
Yes, we discussed Cascadian this week, and we did agree that if the horse is well and we're happy with him, and so far we're very, very happy with him, given that he had just an easy brush around from the back of the field in the Queen Elizabeth last week, then yeah, if we're happy with him, then we should proceed to head towards the Durbin Cup, and we may use the Hollandale Cup on the way through as a preparatory run, And so at this stage, a few weeks out, it looks like that's exactly what we're going to do.
He's a remarkable horse. And, of course, he won the Australian Cup for you earlier this autumn. And James, yes, I know you didn't train the horse, but I dare say you grew up watching him, and he was such an integral part of Godolphin's Derby stud roster. But the passing of Lonro, it's the end of an era, and, gee, what a legacy he leaves, not just with his racetrack deeds, James, but at stud as well.
Oh, he's a champion in every sense of the word. He did it both sides of the fence, on the track and also whilst he was at stud. He's the sire of a very good horse. He's got a fair few good horses. Piero is one of them. He's on the roster. He's on a roll of being a Champagne Stakes winner himself, a race we were just talking about. And he's the sire of this enigmatic horse, Kimentari, who I've got up on my wall here, a horse who I absolutely love training, and he had a really brilliant and brave racing career. I'll tell you one thing, like, you know, I spoke to Darren about it yesterday briefly, but, you know, we've talked about the horse a lot, but how interesting is horse racing? Because like Lonro passed away on Friday, and I'm watching the All Aged, and we withdrew Golden Mile because the track was too wet for Golden Mile. But there's Amenable, the son of Lonro, like, shoots to the front in the All Aged. It actually got me out of my seat. I was, and as happy as I was for Graham Begg to win with Magic Tom, I was cheering for Amenable. You wouldn't believe that a Lonro horse might actually jump out of the ground and win at 50-1 in the Group 1 the day after his sire passed. So. Yeah. Anyway, he was an amazing horse. That gave me a bit of a skip in my step to see Amenable run so well in the All Aged, and it's the same, you know, within a month of Cylinder going to stud, and Cylinder's from the same family as Lonro. So we're very hopeful that Cylinder can fill the shoes of some of these horses that have retired and passed away. It'd be a big deal for the farm.
Yeah, no, it's amazing how those things happen in racing. Just finally, James, completely out of left field here. I know you love your golf. Scotty Scheffler winning the Masters last Monday morning. You get a chance to watch it, and what I find remarkable is he's only 27 years old.
Yeah, I know, Ray, but, you know, you might be able to appreciate this as well, but, you know, watching Scheffler win the Masters is a bit like watching Pride of Jenny win to Queen Elizabeth, you know? It was a bit of an omni shambles.
I like that word.
Everyone around them just fell apart. I mean, what was that about?
Yeah.
Like James Colin Morikawa flushes his 5-irons in his sleep.
Into the water, yeah.
Putting him in the soup. What was that about?
He just doesn't feel pressure, Scotty Scheffler, does he?
I said last week, James, I'm not sure I'd really, as much as we've all loved Tiger, and he is a legend of golf, if not the greatest player of all time, I'm just not sure I want to see him hobbling around at 14, 15 over.
Well, it's amazing that he makes the cut, right? But he makes the cut and then he runs 60th. Does he need to be doing it to pick up his 40,000 prize money?
That's what I'm doing. I just don't want to see his legacy damage, that's all.
But it's amazing we got to see him win again in 2019, don't you think?
That was amazing, yeah. And he's just remarkable.
Scotty Scheffler for the last 12, ever since he won the US Masters 2 years ago, and he four-putted to win the tournament. You know, that was a bit of a blemish on his win. Yeah. Every commentator, every time you turn on the TV, wants to tell you you can't putt. Well, you know, he was right up there in putting averages for the week. He actually sat third in putting averages. I think Rory McIlroy regretted advising him to change to the mallet. but I'll put something on you, blokes. Dino, you should know this because I know you're a big bomber of the ball. You have guys like O'Shea on here who won the long drive challenge at Canterbury when Richard Callender had the nets going. Tell me this, who hit the longest drive at the Masters for the week?
Oh, you'd have to say DeChambeau, but yeah. I assume it's a trick question.
It's a bit of a trick. Mm. Otherwise, I wouldn't ask it.
Who was it? Yeah.
It was Min Woo Lee.
Oh, really?
There you go. What did he knock it up?
I hit it at about, I think he hit it about 350 yards or something.
Had the wind behind him probably on that hole.
It was probably the windy Friday. Windy Friday. But, you know.
How far did you get your one wood, James?
Minwoo Lee's about hits the same size as Ray.
James hits it good. James hits it well.
Yeah. You've got to love it, don't you?
Oh, it's great golf.
Any leather shots for the leather boots from behind trees, James, or not?
You've got to do what you have to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, James, appreciate it. It's always coming on a Sunday morning. Congratulations on a great carnival for the stable and Adelaide and Brisbane coming up next. So plenty to look forward to, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
All right. Thanks, guys.